Begin the current daf Masechet Seif and daf Mem Zayin. Begin four lines off in the top of the Amud, but the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf, and that is regarding the previous daf had said many different klalim, general rules that we take in hand when there is a machlikis between different tanoim, who the halacha follows. Rav Masharsha, after that whole discussion of different statements who we follow, like in general categories, Rav Masharsha categorically argued on that, and he said that no, you don't follow general statements that the halacha always follows like this tana. Whichever one that makes sense in that situation, who we paskin, like that's who the psak will be, like that's how halacha is, you don't make general statements. So the Gemara was trying to find the source, Rav Masharsha, where he has a raya for this, that you don't follow general statements, and the Gemara disproved a few, and the Gemara continues on this, trying to find the source where Rav Masharsha can prove that you see that although generally you'll say the halacha will follow one, I'll bring you a source that says you paskin like the other one, and obviously you don't go like this general statement that you always follow one that argues in the other. As the Gemara continues, rather the source from Masharsha that he could prove that we don't follow this general statements of when one argues on the other that the halacha will be like one, rather we'll find that source that will be like the other from a Mishnah later on that says Hamaniach is basic. If someone leaves his house for Shabbos, V'holach lishbeis be'erches, and he goes to spend Shabbos in another city. Now that applies to Echad Nachri be'echad Yisrael, whether a non-Jew or whether a Jew. Oysu l'bnei chatzeris, he still makes it forbidden for the other people in his courtyard. And that is, there's something called Eruv Chatzeris. When there are many houses open to one courtyard, they're considered like a joint area. Echad made a gzera, they made an oster to carry in that area, although it's not a Rishus Aram. On some level, it looks like it, and it can be confusing because many people are owners in that area, just like Rosh Hashanah, many people know, not one person owns it. Therefore, you have to do what's called a Eruv Chatzeris. They all join as if one person owns it. Then you can carry. If one person does not join in, he makes it forbidden to everyone else because then there's still at least two owners, one which is everyone else, and one the one person that didn't join in. Therefore, it's forbidden. This is talking about this mission that one person that didn't join in, he's not here for Shabbos. He left, he went somewhere else. In spite of that, even though he's not here, he's still going to make it forbidden for everyone else to carry in that chatzar because he still has rishus. He could, he's allowed to carry in that chatzar. So although he's not here for Shabbos, he still makes it forbidden for them if he did not make an erev before he left for Shabbos. Divrei Rav Meir, that's the opinion of Rav Meir. Rabbi Huda Omer, ain't nice. Rabbi Huda says, no, he does not make it forbidden for the other people since he's not here in the city for Shabbos. We don't consider him, and everyone else that is here went and joined in the erev. So therefore, they are allowed to carry in the chatzar. Rabbi Yosi Omer, Rabbi Yosi says, it depends. Nachri Iser, a Nachri, a non-Jew makes it forbidden, because although he's not in the city, but he could come, because he could drive, he could do whatever it is, he doesn't have any halachas forbidding him to come back. So therefore, that's not considered a removal from his heart, as if he's not here for Shabbos, as if he's not a dweller, because he might come back on Saturday afternoon. Therefore, it will be forbidden. Yisrael ain't Iser, but a Jew will not make it forbidden, because once he left for Shabbos, and he's not coming back, he totally removed himself from coming back the entire Shabbos, as he says, Mem Neisha ain't Derech Yisrael, loy v'Shabbos. It's not the custom for people in the middle of Shabbos when they moved away, they took all their stuff for Shabbos to come back in the middle of Shabbos. So therefore it says if there is no dweller here, that there's no owner for this dira, and therefore again, this person that did not make an erev will not make it forbidden for the rest. Again, Nachri would be a problem according to Rabbi Yosi, but not a Yisrael. Rabbi Shimon Aymer, Shimon says, Afila Hinich is basically, even if someone left his home, V'holach Lishbeis Eitzel Bita, and he went to spend Shabbos by his daughter before Shabbos Friday afternoon, he took all his stuff, then even Bo'isa'ir, even if he's in the same city, Ein Oisa does not make it forbidden. Why is that? That he for sure could come back. Shrikav HaSir Daita, he already removes himself from coming back because he's spending Shabbos by his daughter, and therefore, even if he's in the same city, it still will not make it forbidden. And then on this, Mishnah, we said, V'amrav Chaim bar Gur Yomer Rav, Halacha Reb Shimon. Halacha follows like Reb Shimon regarding this whole machloik is what is the halacha regarding this person making a problem for the Erev or not. Now, Uman Pol Gala, who in this Mishnah did we see argues on Reb Shimon? Reb Yehuda, as he said, that it's only in another city that the person would not make it forbidden. But in that city, he would say it would be forbidden. And Reb Yehuda also argues in them, but we're picking one out of the two for the purpose that we see that even though Reb Yehuda argues on Reb Shimon, we paskin in that Mishnah like Reb Shimon, yet V'ha'amrit, one of the general rules that was said in the previous daf, Reb Yehuda, Reb Shimon, Alochak Reb Yehuda, that we always say when we have the machlokes between these two tanoim, the Alochak Valzak like Reb Yehuda, and yet in spite of that we're saying Alochak Valzak Reb Shimon, obviously we don't go with these general rules, and that it depends on the circumstance who you paskin like. That's Rav Masharsha's source, that we don't go with these general statements. To which the Gemara says, what type of a rai is this? Am I kusha? The Mahachinami, as the Gemara had, was doicha the other two rais. Maybe here also, hecha de itmar inma, where it says the halacha follows like one, which is not the one that we usually go with the general rule, like Reb Shimon in contrast to Reb Yehuda, then we say halacha follows like Reb Shimon. Where was not said, then we don't say it. In other words, when there's no specific way where to go, it doesn't tell us who to pass like, then is when the general rule kicks in and says we go like Rabbi Huda in place of Rabbi Shimon. But it's not a contradiction to ask you don't go with general rules because you see here you go like Rabbi Shimon. Of course, if it says you like Rabbi Shimon, you go like Rabbi Shimon. Our whole rule was only when it doesn't say who the Allah is like. So El Mahad did not, rather the Gemara tries finding another source for Mishashim. From a Mishnah later on that says, "V'zehu sha'amrin." This is what we said: "Ha'ani ma'ar baraglim." That the poor person, in other words, someone that doesn't have bread to make an erev tchumen, he makes an erev with his feet. In other words, by being in the location at the end of his 2,000 amos, which is from the center of where he is, by being there, by nishmash, he's saying that's his new bias, that's his new place where his kohen should be. And then from there, he has 2,000 amos in either direction that will give him another 2,000 amos of where his house really is. Remeya says, "Anu ein lanu." We don't have, in other words, this ability to be kind of a shvisa with your body, with your presence, without making an erev out of bread, which is two meals worth, is ela'ani. That's only a poor person, which means to say, someone that's on the road and doesn't have bread with him, only such a person can make an erev with his body. But everyone else, if you're not on the road and you have the ability to make a bread, then you have to make an erev with bread. Yehuda argues, he says no. Echad ani, whether a person that's poor, in other words, that doesn't have bread, the Echad Asher, and even a wealthy person, he also can make his Erev with bread, with his body. And that is if he's sitting at home. If he wants to go himself and to spend his Bein HaShemashes there, of course he can go ahead and create a Shvisa there. Not like Rameir had said that only the one that doesn't have the ability to do it with bread can do it with his body. Of course the wealthy person, the one that has bread at home, he's at home, he can do it with bread. He's still allowed to do it with his body. Like Amru Ma'arvim Bepas, this that we had said, that this Erev with bread, that we could do it with bread, was elala hakal ala asha. That was only to make it easier on the wealthy person. Shlayetze, that he doesn't have to go through the whole tircha, the exertion of going out, the arv baraglav, and making the air with his body. And rather, we made a heter, we made a permission for him to send a shliach, and he could stay at home during the time period of Ben Hashmashas, to make an air with bread through his shliach. But not that it meant to say that he's not allowed to make it with his feet and that he could only do it with bread. It was just making a leniency for him that he could make it with bread. Now, Umasni le Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, and when Rav Chiya Bar Ashi had quoted this Mishnah, and he taught it L'Chiya Bar Rav, Kamei de Rav, he said, Echad Ani ve'Echad Asher, that this, that you could do it with your reglaim, is both a poor person, in other words, someone that doesn't have bread, or and even a wealthy person, in other words, someone that's at home that has bread, which means he was quoting the statement of Rabbi Huda l'Halacha. V'amale Rav, and Rav said to him, after he finished quoting this Mishnah, he said, Sayim banami, halacha Rabbi Huda, you should conclude and say also that the halacha does actually follow like Rabbi Huda in this halacha, not like Rabbi Meir, that again, you can do it, of course, if you're usher, you could do it with your glayim. It was only a heta that you don't have to, and you can do it with bread. To which the question is, Tarti lamali, why do I need these two statements? In other words, to say the halacha follows like Rabbi Huda, where Meir argues on him, but va'amrit, we had already said on the previous staff, this was one of the general statements that we said, Remei, Rabbi Huda, when there's a machlekes between Remei and Rabbi Huda, where it doesn't say specifically that the halacha is like either one, we said halacha ka Rabbi Huda, halacha follows like Rabbi Huda. And yet, in spite of that, we come explicitly to say that Rav says the halacha is like Rabbi Huda. Why do you have to say that? Of course we know that. Whenever there's a machlokes Rabbi Huda and Meir, the halacha is like Rabbi Huda. So therefore, obviously, you see from the statement of Rav that you don't go with these general statements. To which the Gemara says, not true, my kusha. Dilma Rav less leila haniklali. Maybe Rav, you're right, you could bring a Rav, that Rav doesn't hold these general statements. And that's because it was Rav that said this statement that he ended off that to say, oh, you should be Messiah halacha like Rabbi Huda. But because Rav doesn't hold of it, then that's why you say there are no such general rules. But that's not true. Rabbi Yechanan is the one that said these general rules on the previous daf. And when you have Machlekes Rav and Rabbi Yechanan, who does the halacha follow? Like Rabbi Yechanan. So therefore, what are you proving over here, your whole taina, from this statement of Rav, that you don't say these klalim? It's not true. Rav had to say halacha like Rabbi Huda because he doesn't hold of it. But don't take away the whole merit of these klalim, which Rabbi Yechanan said, because again, Rabbi Yechanan argues and Rabbi Yechanan holds that we do all the klalim, and we halacha follows like Rabbi Yechanan. So again, that's not a good source to disprove these general statements. So rather, the Gemara brings from the following Mishnah Masechtas Yevamos that says Hayevama loy tachlitz, a Yevama, which is a woman that died childless and her husband had died and now she's childless. So she doesn't do chalitz again. Her husband's brother has to do either yibam or chalitz. Yibam means to say that he marries her. And even though there's generally a prohibition of Eishas Achiv, he can't marry his brother's wife, but when she dies childless, then he marries her. Or he does Chalitza, which is a process of saying that he's a type of divorce that he's not marrying her. So a Yevama cannot have a Chalitza process done within 3 months of when her husband had died. And as the Gemara in Masechet Zivamis explains, because maybe she's pregnant, and up until 3 months, it's not obvious if a woman's pregnant or not, and the chalitza of a pregnant woman is not considered a valid chalitza. So she cannot do chalitza, but she cannot do yibim either, which would be her husband's brother marrying her, because maybe she is pregnant, because it's still within 3 months, and it comes out if she's pregnant that her husband's brother was over on Eishes Achiv that has children, which is a karis. The whole heter is only when she doesn't have children. So she cannot do chalitza or yibim ad sheyu lo shloish chadashim, until at least 3 months have passed by, where then it's recognizable that she's not pregnant, because if she is pregnant, obviously not doing anything to her, not yibim chalitza, but then you'll see that she's not pregnant, and then you do either chalitza or yibim. Then the Mishnah over there continues, v'chin shar kol hanashim, the same thing applies to all other women, that maybe they're going to give birth within 9 months of the death of their first husband. Or if she's going to remarry within 3 months, maybe she's going to be having birth of 7 months of the second husband. And therefore, it's going to be a suffix. We're not going to know which husband it's from. And there's a criteria that's necessary, what's called havchana. You have to know who the real father is. As the Gemara in Masechet Yevamah says, because there are certain problems that could come out of it if we don't know who the real father is with regards to Yibim and different halachas of who is the real father with regards to the rest of the family. So therefore, the same thing applies to all other women. Lo yinasu, they're not allowed to get married. Lo yisarsu, and they're not allowed to get engaged. And as Rashi explains, because although getting engaged won't have any application regarding pregnancy, because they're just engaged, but they're about to make a gzera of erisin, of engagement, because of actual marriage. Ad sheyu len shloish chadashim, until 3 months have passed, then you're allowed to go ahead and get engaged and get married, because now there won't be any more concern about knowing who is the real father of this child. And that applies echad besulis, whether the woman is a virgin, echad beulus, or whether she's not a virgin, echad almanis, whether she's a widow, echad gerushis, or whether she was divorced, echad arusis, echad nesuis, whether she was engaged or whether she was married. And that is, although obviously a woman that was engaged doesn't have any application of maybe she's pregnant from her first husband, but again, as we said, Rabbanim made a gzeru of arusa atu nesua, that just like we said, she's not allowed to get engaged now to the second husband because of getting married. Something applies to the first husband, even though she was just engaged to the first husband, which again has no problem, but because we didn't want, if a woman's husband died when she was just engaged, that they might come to get married also within 3 months, so we disallowed it even when they were just engaged. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. Rabbi Huda says, he argues. He says, Nesua is arsu, that if a woman was married, but she's allowed to get engaged right away, and she just can't get married, she can't have nisun until after 3 months, because then, if you waited 3 months for marriage at least, even though you got engaged right away, then she's not going to get pregnant from the second one within 3 months. And therefore, if after 9 months after her first husband died, it's definitely from the first husband, because if it would be from the second one, then it would be a child that would be only 6 months old and from utero, and a child that was born after 6 months cannot survive. So therefore, if it survives, it's definitely a child from the first husband. Va'arusais, and the woman that was engaged, in other words, that she was widowed or she was divorced from when she was engaged to her first husband, yinasu, she could get married right away. Because again, it's obvious that she was not pregnant from her first husband, not because she was just engaged. So therefore, either way, again, if she was just engaged, now she could get married. And if she was married, she can get engaged. Whereas the Tanakhama said, in all situations, whether engaged or married, cannot get engaged or married right now. However, there is one exception to this, chutz me'arusa shebi Yehuda, except for a girl that was engaged in Judea, where there their custom was that they would make yichud, they would have that the chasna and kala would be together, secluded, before they actually got married when they got under the chuppah, as the Gemara in Ksuba says. So therefore, m'nishaliba gospel, but since that his heart is so to speak very friendly and they have this type of casual relationship and she would be willing to submit to him, so therefore there, even though they were engaged, and generally we say engaged is no concern about pregnancy, therefore you can get married right away, in Yehuda, there, even though they were just engaged, you cannot get married, because there is a concern that even though they were just engaged, that maybe they did consummate their relationship. That's the opinion of Yehuda. The third opinion, Rabbi Yossi, I mean, he's somewhere in the middle between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda. He says, kol hanashim yisarsu, all the women can get engaged. And that is, he's arguing on both the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda. He's arguing the Tanakhama, that he says that the Tanakhama says usher even to get engaged for any woman. He says no. He says all women can get engaged. And he also argues on Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi Yehuda says it's permitted for an engaged woman to get married. He says no. Even the woman that was engaged, it's still not mutter to get married, but it's mutter to get engaged, again, for all types of women. Chutz min almana, except for a widow. Nehi ibul, that's for a different reason, because of mourning, that it's forbidden for a woman that was engaged all the 30 days of her avelus. However, a woman that doesn't have avelus, and let's say a woman that was divorced, then yes, she can get engaged right away. So that is the three machlokes we had over there in the Mishnah Masechtas Yevamos. Ramina, we said a story related to this, that Rabbi Lazar lo ala bei medrasha. Rabbi Lazar one time didn't go to the Beis Medrash. Ashkech ila Rabbi Asi da bekom, so he saw Rabbi Asi that was coming. Amalei my omah bei medrasha. He says, what did they say today in the Beis Medrash? So Amalei, hochem Rabbi Yechanan says, this is what Rabbi Yechanan said. Halacha k'b yasi, the halacha falls like Rabbi Yasi, he was the middle shita, that he held you always allowed to get engaged right away. Again, you're not allowed to get married in any situation, but you can get engaged right away. So machlal, so the inference is that this stamma, in other words, the Tanakama opinion that was mentioned that said whether they were engaged or whether they were married was the yichida poligala. Obviously, that was an individual that was arguing on him, and therefore we're able to say that halacha follows like Rabbi Yasi. To which the Gemara says, "In yes, that's what he answered." But Tanya, as we learned in the Brisa, that Hareisha Hisur Dufa Leilich LeBeis Aviyah, if a woman was always running to go to her father's house, she always went there, which her father lived in a different city, and she wasn't always with her husband. Or she had anger with her husband. They had problems and she wasn't at home with him a lot. Or if her husband was very old or ill. Or if she was ill, she was sick, and she wasn't able to tolerate the difficulty of intimacy. Or Akara, she was a woman that didn't have the ability to bear children, and that was based on her mazel, as that because she was married to three different people and she never gave birth to either one of them, which gives her the chazaka, an established criteria that she's an Akara, she doesn't have children. Or Zakenu, she's very old, or Katanu, she's very young. The islandess, or a girl that's an islandess that is from the birth, from her mother's womb. There are certain signs that she's not capable of having children. And that is, she doesn't have a certain hair, and she doesn't have her body is not completely formed in a feminine type of a way, and that's the term islandess, which the word isle, like a male ram, which basically means that she doesn't give birth to children, or she's not fit to give children. That's based on something that she had done. She had taken a certain potion, which made her that she can't have children, or her husband was locked up in jail. Or v'hamapeles lachem izbaila, or a woman that miscarried after her husband already had died, which all these types of cases are basically situations that are saying that it's not really probable that she's going to be having a child from her first husband. Kulan tzrich l'hamtin gimel chadashim, doesn't make a difference. All these women have to wait 3 months after her first husband died before she marries another man. That's the opinion of Remeir. So obviously the Remeir is the one that he makes a decree with all these women that obviously she's probably not pregnant, which would definitely include a woman that's engaged, still he holds you have to wait 3 months. Yet Rabbi Yosi matur le'arzvel nasim yad. And Rabbi Yosi argues and says, no, you're allowed to get engaged right away. So which the conclusion is, lomali, why did Rabbi Yosi, and this is the question that we're posing that's supposed to be in the right to Rav Mesharshu. Why did Rabbi Yosi have to say the halacha follows Rabbi Yosi in this machlokes of the Mishnah and Yevamos that we spoke about? V'amrit, but what you said, and that was one of the general rules we said on the previous daf. Remeyev Rabbi Yosi, in other words, we see that this yachid, that's arguing that the opinion of the Tanakama in our Mishnah that says that you're not allowed to get married, not get engaged, even if you were just engaged beforehand, which means to say that it's not probable that you're pregnant. Just like all these other cases that were mentioned of islandness and akara, who is that? That's Reb Meir. And yet we still have to say the halacha is like Reb Yosi. Now, obviously, that means that Reb Yochanan does not hold to these general rules. Rather, it was these Amirom that sit on their own. And this is Reb Mesharsha's proof because he was saying that Reb Meir and Reb Yosi, and we're saying halacha is like Reb Yosi. So now, what would that mean? Obviously, because we don't hold to the general statement that whenever you have a machlokes Reb Yosi and Reb Meir, you hold like Reb Yosi, because then you wouldn't have to say explicitly, which this is Reb Yochanan, that quote unquote he's the one that says the general statements to say that halacha follows like Reb Yosi. To which the Gemara responds, says no. Well, my kusha, what type of a question is this to prove that Reb Yochanan himself does not hold to the general statements? Dilma, maybe although Reb Yochanan made this general statement, he still had to paskin over here that the halacha is like Reb Yosi, who argues with Reb Meir, because in this situation, Reb Meir is being machmir. And as the Gemara says, it's lafukim of Reb Nachman Shmuel. He had to say it to exclude from the statement of Reb Nachman in the name of Shmuel. The Amma, that he says, halacha k'Reb Meir b'gzei reisab, that the halacha follows Reb Meir in his decrees, and that is wherever he is machmir, the halacha follows like him. That's why Reb Yochanan had to come to exclude from that statement of Shmuel to say that, however, in this case, the halacha is going to be like Reb Yosi. So again, therefore, it's not a good raya for Reb Mesharsha that Reb Yochanan, who quote-unquote was the one that said these general statements, that when Reb Yosi argues in Reb Meir, halacha always follows like Reb Yosi, so why do you have to say over here halacha follows like Reb Yosi? Because I would have thought he is different. I would have thought since here Reb Meir is machmer, and that's what we say, the halacha follows Reb Meir, because they raise him, we would not say halacha like Reb Yosi. That's why we have to say explicitly over here that the halacha of Azar Rabbi Yosi. So again, no source for Rav Misharsha that we don't have these general statements of the Kolalim. So the Gemara tries finding another source. El Mahad Tanya, rather the proof is from the following Braisa. Holchin li'irid shel nachrim. You're allowed to go to your rid, which is a marketplace. These are the types of fears they have on the holidays of certain idols of the non-Jews. You're allowed to go to these fears. The loikhimhen, you could purchase things from the non-Jews. You could purchase behema, animals, and all these things are because you're bringing these items into Kedusha, taking away from these idol worshippers that would use it for idols. So you could buy cattle, vavodim, and slaves, rishvachis, and maidservants, patim, houses, sodis, and fields. And the reason for these things are because you're taking them away from idols, and also because of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, you want to buy up as much as Eretz Yisrael as possible. The kramim and vineyards, so all these things you go ahead and purchase. And even more, the Kaisib, you could write a document, Umala, and you could go ahead and bring it up, this document, Ba'ar Korshalem, in their courts. And that is, you could bring it in front of their judges to sign. And although this is a sign of chashivas, of respect to them, and you could be suspecting that maybe they're going to go ahead and thank their gods, their Avodah Zarah, and say, huh, look, even the Jews are coming to us, obviously, because our God is so great. Even so, it's mutter. Why? Because it's like saving these properties from the non-Jews. And that is because if you don't go ahead and sign the document and bring it to their courts, the non-Jew is going to go ahead and say, huh, la hadam, it never happened, I never sold this to you, and he's not going to give it to you. And even more so, it says, if he was a kohen, the one, the Jew that was purchasing from these non-Jews in their markets on their holidays, mitama b'chutz la'aretz l'adin v'la'armen. He could even go ahead and make himself impure because chutz la'aretz, they gave a certain tumah to chutz la'aretz because we say that this older people are buried throughout and you don't know where there's a grave. So although he kind of becomes tummy out going outside Eretz Yisrael, he's allowed to go out to judge and to contest with the non-Jew to fight over these properties that he bought from the non-Jew. And even more so, k'shem shem mitam chutzla, it's just so that he's allowed to be mitam himself by leaving Eretz Yisrael to go ahead and educate his case in front of the non-Jewish courts. Kach mitam beis hakvaros, he's even allowed to be mitam himself by going into a cemetery. The Gemara says, wait a second, beis hakvaros hagadadich, would you think that he could go into a cemetery? What do you mean, he's being over on this explicit law in the Torah, tumah d'oraisa. Going to beis hakvaros, it says in the Torah that a kohen cannot be mitam himself. How could he be over issa d'oraisa to go ahead and save money from the non-Jews? So the Gemara says, you're right, it doesn't mean an actual Beis HaKvaros, it was Beis HaPras Drabbanan. It's a reference to Beis HaPras, which is an area where there was a grave that got ahead and plowed over and that we're not sure where the bones are. And there are certain leniencies because it's only a suffix and you can blow it to get the pieces of the barley corn, of the corpse out of the way. So it's only a Drabbanan. For those types of tumah, he could even be even a Beis HaPras Drabbanan to go ahead and save the properties from the non-Jew. Similar halacha, it's brought that umitame lisa isha, a kohen can be mitame himself. Let's say you go to chutz la'aretz or beis hapras to go ahead and marry a woman, but lumad Torah and to go learn Torah. That's how important these things are to get married and to learn Torah. However, Amar Rabbi Yehuda qualifies this, and he says, Emasai, when did we say this heter? Is bizman she'ein moitzel lumad. You could leave Eretz Yisrael to go to chutz la'aretz only if you don't have anyone in Eretz Yisrael to go ahead and learn by. But if you have someone to learn by in Eretz Yisrael, we're not going to let you go to Chutz La'aretz to go learn by someone else and be Matami Sabah Chutz La'aretz if you have someone in Eretz Yisrael. However, B'Yisim Yerisi argues and he says, no, even if there are yeshivas, many aplenty in Eretz Yisrael to learn by, you could still go ahead to Chutz La'aretz and be Matami Sab. Why is that? Lafi, and we continue on to Amud Beis, She'ein Min Hakol Zeich Adam Lumad. A person does not merit to learn from everybody. And that is, you can't learn from every teacher that there is. There are certain rebbeim that they have everything prepared as just so, and they teach it in a very short and curt way, and for you it's hard to understand. Therefore, the one in chutz la'aretz might be able to explain it better. So therefore, you could be mitame yourself, even though there are yeshivas and people to teach you, even there it's Yisrael. And moreover, Amar Rabbi Yosef, to prove his point, says, Ma'isa b'Yosef HaKohen, there was a story with Yosef HaKohen, who was a Kohen, Shehalach Yitzel Rabbi L'Tzidin L'Mitar, that he went to his Rabbi in Tzidin, which was in Chutz La'aretz, to go learn Torah. So you see that although obviously there were yeshivas, you're allowed to be mitame yourself into Chutz La'aretz because you can't learn from everybody. Now here's where the Raya comes to Rav Misharsha. Va'am Rabbi Yochanan halachik Rabbi Yosi, and Rabbi Yochanan said halachas like Rabbi Yosi regarding this machlekes that you could go outside of Eretz Yisrael, even though there's someone to learn by in Eretz Yisrael. Now, Lomali, why did he have to say this? This again, Rabbi Yochanan, who he's the one that quote-unquote holds of these klolim. But Va'amr, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosi, halachik Rabbi Yosi. One of the general statements we said in the previous daf was, whenever you have machlekes, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosi, who does that halacha follow like? If Azar, Rabbi Yosi. So why would I need to say specifically over here that halacha of Azar, Rabbi Yosi? Obviously, Rabbi Yochanan does not hold these klolim. Every case is individual, and that's how you judge it. This was Rav Misharsha's source. Turns the Gemara again as Deich and says, what's the Raya? I'm Abaya Itzrich. No, even though he holds the Klalim, he had to say over here, Halacha Fazer Gabiesi. Because Salgadai Dechanamili, I would have thought to say that when did Rabbi Yochanan make this general rule? The Halacha Fazer Gabiesi, in contrast to Rabbi Yehuda, that's Bimas Nitin. That's when they have their Machloikis in the Mishnah, which our Mishnahs are very precise. Of a Bebraisa, but in a Braisa, which was this case, where there maybe the Braisa mixed up the quotations of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda to Rabbi Yehuda. Emaloi, maybe there I would say that not to rely on the Braisa and to always follow like it says Rabbi Yehuda, not like Rabbi Yehuda, even when they argue in the Braisa, because maybe Rabbi Yehuda is really Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda is really Rabbi Yehuda. So we have to look at each case individually. Kamash Malan, that's why we have to tell you that the halacha over here is going to be like Rabbi Yehuda, and that we always apply these applications of the halacha, not only in the Mishnah, but even in the Braisa. So there the Gemara tried many times to prove Rav Shashi's point that we don't go with these klalim, and the Gemara was not able to find the source. So the Gemara concludes and says, Ilahachikama. Rather, this was what Rav Shashi was saying. You're right, we're not being doiche that Rabbi Yechon holds of these klalim. Hani klali lav divrei hakolin, what Rav Shashi was saying was that these general statements, that it always is like this one in contrast to this one when they have the machlekes, not everybody agrees to them. Darav less lehani klali, because Rav does not hold to the general statements as the Gemara had said previously. From the fact that Rav had to say, oh, sayim baname halacha Rabbi Yehuda, he said when you're quoting that Mishnah, conclude that not only that this is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, that you could do it with your regal and pas, but actually that is the halacha. Now he had to say that because he doesn't hold. But again, there is no proof regarding Rabbi Yechanan that he doesn't, who he was the one that said the klom, that he doesn't hold of it. And therefore, again, we could say that Rabbi Yechanan and Rav, halacha fazer Rabbi Yechanan, all Rav Mishashi was coming to say was, don't think that everybody holds this klom, because I could prove to you that Rav does not hold of the klom. Now the Gemara returns to the theme of our Mishnah, which spoke about the machlokes of Heftzi Hefka regarding items that have no owner. We spoke about the machlokes between Rabbi Yechim and Nuri and the Rabbanan, who they spoke about someone that was sleeping, which the Gemara applied to the machlokes of Heftzi Hefka. Now, related to that, the Gemara brings not an ownless item, but something similar to that, an item owned by a non-Jew. Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul, Heftzi Nachri ain't kain shvisa. An item owned by a non-Jew does not acquire a halachic residence for the item, and therefore, it's like karagli kaladim, like anything that does not have its own shvisa. Anybody that picks it up, it becomes like his area. It doesn't have its own area of tchum. And therefore, if it came from out of the tchum to the city, let's say the non-Jew brought it in, you're allowed to move it wherever whatever direction you want to, whatever the person is that is acquiring it. So now the Gemara asks, Lama, when Shmuel said this halacha, in whose opinion was he saying this, that it's that the cheftze of a nachri will not have a shvisa? Elim Rabbanan, if he was going according to Rabbanan, again, this was the Machlekes, the Rabbanan, Rabbi Yechim and Nuri, if Heftzei Hefker have Shvisa or not, again, regarding our Mishnah, that we said regarding a sleeping person, if it's like Rabbanan, Pshit is obvious. What do you mean? Hashta Heftzei Hefker. If regarding an ownerless item, the less Luhubailim that does not have an owner, where there you could say that the item itself acquires its own Shvisa. Yet in spite of that, ain't kain shvisa, still the Rabban hold that no. Heftzei Hefker doesn't have das, it's like a sleeping person, does not acquire its own area, so it won't have its own tchum. So therefore, Heftzei Anachri, the isluhu bailam, so an object owned by a non-Jew that does have owners, and therefore generally we know that an object has the tchum of its owner, which means to say it's like its owner, and the owner itself, which is a non-Jew, does not have shvisa, because they're not b'nei shvisa. A non-Jew doesn't have a limit of how far he can go on Shabbos. He doesn't have the halacha of Shabbos. The different mibaya. In such a case, would you have a half a minute to say that there would be shvisa on this item owned by something by somebody that doesn't have shvisa? Obviously, there wouldn't be shvisa. Why would I need Shmuel to tell us the cheftzei nachri not kain the shvisa? So el ali with Rabbi Yechim and Nuri. Obviously, when Shmuel was saying this chiddush, so to speak, that we would not have known without him, that cheftzei nachri don't have shvisa, was like Rabbi Yechim and Nuri. Ukamash Balon, the chiddush he was telling us was that Eimad Am Rabbi Yechim and Nuri kain the shvisa. When did we say that an object is going to be kain the shvisa? Hanemili Heftzei Hefker Deles Lubailim. That was Rabbi Yechim and Nuri's chiddush that he said it's only by an ownerless item that doesn't have owners. Then we can say the chiddush that even though it doesn't have das, but the object itself will kain its own shvisa. But that's what Shmuel was coming to tell us, that even Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri would agree that, however, the item owned by a non-Jew that has owners, then we say the object has the status as the owner, which does not have shvisa. So also the object also does not have a shvisa and therefore a tchum. And therefore, whichever Jew picks it up, it becomes like his own tchum. But then the Gemara asks on that. Meisvei, we learned in the Braisa. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer. If someone borrows a vessel from a non-Jew on Yom Tov, and it was someone from the same city as the Jew, Same thing would apply if you lend your item, your vessel, to a non-Jew from before Yom Tov, and then it acquires its quote-unquote shvisa by the non-Jew who is within the tchum of the city from Erev Yom Tov, the gezira lo b'Yom Tov, and then the non-Jew returns it to him on Yom Tov. Or v'hakelim ha'itzaris, and the vessels, or that it was made into an oitzer, into a storehouse. All these things we're talking about, that the non-Jew is in the same city as the Jew, and that it had started off its halachic residence within the boundary of this city. Then the item, this keli, has 2,000 amos in every direction. And even if it was an ownerless item, and regarding a vessel that had acquired, shvisa was saying, by the non-Jew, and then it was returned to the owner, as we said, that he lent it to him on Friday, and then he gives it back to him on every Yom Tov, and he gives it back to him on Yom Tov. So we say that even if the owner had made an Erev to the east or to the west, he can't move it out of 2,000 Amas from where the item had started off on Yom Tov. Similarly, v'nachri she'eber le'peris m'chutz l'tchum, a non-Jew that brings produce from out of the tchum, harizel lo yiziz m'kayman, he can't move it from the spot that it was brought, because again, it did acquire a shvisa in its place, and now it came from out of the tchum, so therefore all you have is dalet amos. So now the Gemara proves their question from this price. If you're going to say, not the way we concluded before, that Rabbi Yochanan holds that the object of a non-Jew does have a shvisa, so then hamani, so who would this b'raisa be like, that we learned that the cheftze of a nachri are kind of shvisa? That was the principle we saw throughout that b'raisa, that we said that when you had borrowed this from the non-Jew, or you had lent it to him, and then you got it back, but either way, it was kind of shvisa by the non-Jew, or if it was brought from outside of the tchum, and then the non-Jew brought it in. Either way, we said it has that status. It did acquire a shvisa in the presence and in the property of the non-Jew, giving it only 2,000 amas. And if you take it out of that, it only gets dalet amas, that it is kind of shvisa if it's a chavtei shanachi. So hamani, so who would the brisa be like? Obviously, Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, that would be like Rabbi Yochanan Nuri. In other words, Rabbi Shimon Elaza, who said this statement in the Brice, he would be going like the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan Nuri. Now, Eli Yamid, but if you're going to say the way the Gemara just concluded, that Ksavar Rabbi Yochanan Nuri Chavtze Hanachi Ein Koin Shvisa, that even he agrees. Although regarding Chavtze Hefke, he says it is Koin Shvisa, but when it's owned by a non-Jew, where then we say the object has the status as the owner, that just like the owner doesn't have a shvisa, so too the Adam doesn't have a shvisa. So then Hamani, so who is Rabbi Shimon Elaza going like? Lo Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, but Lo Rabbanan. He's not going like either opinion. So how could we understand the Braisa if we're saying and we're concluding that the opinion of Shmuel is going in the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, that there is no Shvisa for Chavtze Shel Nachri? So David the Gemara says, Lo'aylam, you're right, Kesav Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, Chavtze HaNachri Koin Shvisa. You have to say that who's Rabbi Shimon Elaza going to be like? He's obviously going to be like Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, because Rabbi Yochanan Nuri agrees that not only is Chavtze Hefke Koin Shvisa, but even Chavtze Nachri is also Koin Shvisa, just like Chavtze Hefke. B'Shmuel Dama, and however Shmuel that said before that Chavtze Nachri are not Koina Shvisa, so who's he going like? He's going like Kerabanan, that they say Chavtze Hefker are not Koina, and so too Chavtze Nachri. Udika Amrit L'Rabbanan B'Shita, but this that you had asked before, that according to Rabbanan is Pasha, what do you mean? If an item that we could say possibly could be Koina Shvisa because it has no owner, and therefore maybe the object itself acquires a Tchum, so definitely when it's owned by a non-Jew who he doesn't have a shvisa, so therefore items that he owns definitely also does not have a shvisa. Well, why would we have to say that according to Rabbanan? The answer is because maybe we would think by Chavtze Nachri it would be kind of shvisa because of a gzeira. Maybe I would have thought to say that we should decree that there should be a shvisa for an item that's owned by a non-Jew, because we might come to decree that we might be concerned that you might come to say, hey, something that's owned by somebody, you see, even though it's owned, it doesn't have a shvisa. So too we see that objects that are owned don't have a shvisa, and you might come to be lenient even by something that's owned by a Jew, which does have the shvisa of the Bailam. Maybe that's why we would say that we should give it its own tchum. That's why we needed the statement of Shmuel, even in Rabbanan, who they hold Chavtze Hefker and Koin Shvisa. We had to say that also Chavtze Nachri and Koin Shvisa, that not to think that we make a gzera of Chavtze Nachri atu Chavtze Yisrael. That was the opinion of Shmuel, that he said that Chavtze Nachri do not have a Shvisa. However, B'chibra Avon Amar Rabbi Yochanan, he argues on Shmuel, and he says Chavtze Nachri Koin Shvisa, it's not true. The items of a non-Jew do acquire Shvisa, although the Bailam don't. Gzeira b'am l'nacha, ata b'am l'Yisrael, exactly for that same decree, because we're concerned that we're going to say things owned by a person does not acquire shvisa, and then you might come to say the same thing when it's owned by a Jew, which is not true, that it does have the shvisa of the owner. Therefore, even when it's owned by a non-Jew, we're going to say that it does not have the status of karagli kaladim, whoever picks it up. No, it has 2,000 amas of where it started off on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So now the Gemara brings a story related to this. Hanu dichri de asil mavrachta. There were these rams that came to this city called Mavrachta. So shorilahu ravo lebnei mechuzah. Rava permitted for the people of Mechuzah, which was a city near Mavrachta, that it was within 4,000 amas of Mavrachta, and they would make an Erev Tchumen from one city to the other. So therefore, you were able to, since it was within 4,000 amas, Erev Tchumen lets you go another 2,000 amas, so they're able to go from one city to another. So he permitted for the people of Mechuzah, Lemizvin Menayhu, to buy from the non-Jews that had brought it to Mavrachta, and then the people that were from Mechuzah would bring it from Mavrachta to Mechuzah. Now, although the non-Jews brought it from out of the Tchum to Mavrachta, still his Rava permitted it because he held that Cheftzei Anachri are not Kain HaShvisa. And since it's not Kain HaShvisa, until it comes to the possession of a Jew, it can be moved wherever it could be. Now, once a Jew gets it, even a person from Mechuzah, now he gets it in Mavrachta, now it gets his status of his Tchum, and he can take it back to his home, back in Mechuzah. On that, Omalei Ravina L'Rava, Ravina said to Rava, my Daitcha. What is your understanding? How did you let the people of Mechuzah to go ahead and buy this and bring it back to home? The Amar Bihuda Meshmul, because you were going with that Shmul that we just mentioned previously in the Gemara, that he says Cheftzi Nachri ain't Kain Shvisa, that items owned by non-Jew do not acquire Shvisa, therefore you can move it wherever you want until it comes to the possession of a Jew and then it gets his Tchum. But Vahashmul Rabbi Yechanan, again going back to the same things about general rules. Whenever there's a machlekes between Shmuel and Rabbi Yechanan, halacha k'Rabbi Yechanan, and yet we brought in the Gemara before that va'am Rabbi Chiya bar Avin am Rabbi Yechanan that cheftzei nachri are kain shvisa, that he argues and says that the objects owned by a non-Jew do acquire shvisa, and the reason being because gezer b'am d'nachri atam b'am d'Yisrael, and therefore since it is kain shvisa, when the non-Jew brought it to Mavrachta, he brought it from out of Tchum. You can't even move it more than 4 amas, definitely not back home to Mechuzah. So the Gemara says hadam Rava. So Rava then retracted. And he said, "Lizdavnu lebei mavrachta." You're right. It cannot be sold to the people of Mechuzah. They can't go ahead and bring it back home the less than 4,000 amas. Rather, it could only be sold to the people of Mavrachta, where it was brought to. The kula mavrachta lididhu kedalat amas dami, because the whole entire city of Mavrachta is considered for the people of Mavrachta like dalat amas. And that is, although again, as we said, something brought from out of the tchum could only have 4 amas. The entire city is considered like the dalat amas. As we said in the beginning of the parak, it says in the Mishnah above, we said that when a person was taken out of the Tchum and he was brought to another city, or he was placed in a deer in the Sahar into a corral or a pen, that Rabbi Gamliel had said that you can go around, you can walk the entire area. Again, although when you go out of the Tchum, you only get Dalet Amos, even when you were taken out. However, when you were put inside a fenced-in area, a city, or a deer in Sahar, you get to walk the entire area. And the Gemara said before that Amar Rav, the halacha is like Rabbi Gamliel by deer, Sahar, and Svina. And therefore, the same thing would apply to a city that has walls. And that's why he said, although it was coming, you're right, Cheftzei Nachri, our kind of shvisa, and it was brought from out of the Tchum into Mavrachta, but this city is considered like one big dalat amas, and therefore the people of Mavrachta could buy it and they could take it to their home because the whole entire city, even though it was taken out of the Tchum, is considered like dalat amas, like the halacha is like in Leil, when you're taken out of your Tchum, you get the entire area of a closed-in area.